Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
My name is Tiagi Delanerol, filling in for Adjoa K. Boahidi. I'm here with Kim Herben, head of well-being at Potato Head. The theme of this podcast today is From Creativity to Care, How Kim Shapes Employee Well-Being at Potato Head. And the intention is really to inspire HR professionals with innovative strategies for embedding well-being into workplace culture, drawing from Kim's unique blend of creative and holistic approaches. Kim's journey is a masterclass in creative reinvention. Starting her career in marketing and advertising from global brands like Nike and Levi's, she now leads the well-being initiatives at Potato Head Family. From curating art, music, collaborations to designing holistic wellness programs, Kim has found ways to blend creativity, culture, and care to improve employee experiences. In this episode, we'll uncover how Kim uses her creative edge to design transformative well-being programs that empower employees, enhance productivity, and build a culture of belonging. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We're so excited to have you on the Well-Being Ignites Well-Doing podcast. We actually kick things off with a couple Proust-inspired questions. Marcel Proust was a French essayist. He really believed that asking a few of these types of questions really gets to the true nature and character of an individual. So we're going to start off with, which talent would you most like to have?
I would say if there's a talent that I would love to have is the talent to effortlessly create music. To connect and inspire, whether that would be playing an instrument or composing, I think that would be absolutely a talent I would love, as I feel that music is such an incredible bridge for everything. Like, everything is frequency.
That's a beautiful aspiration to have. If you were to die and were to come back as a person or thing, what would it be?
Oh, wow. For me, I think I would love to return as a tree.
Okay.
For me, I think for me, I've always had a very strong connection to trees, to their wisdom. They stand through time. They are so rooted. I think there's so much wisdom. There's so much beauty in trees. They go through all the seasons, all the years. But yes, they're very resilient. So yeah, absolutely a beautiful old oak or sequoia tree.
Well, you're right now in Bali, right? Beautiful Bali.
Yes.
You must be surrounded by trees, right? So many beautiful trees.
Yes.
There's something really majestic and wise about trees because they've lived so many centuries.
In Bali, the trees are often also the homes for spirits. So if there is a sacred tree, a tree that carries or is the home to spirits, it will be covered with a black and white checkered cloth. So if you pass a tree, if you're in Bali, you pass a tree that's covered with a cloth, you know it's a sacred tree.
Oh, that's very interesting. I did not know that, and I'm sure some of our listeners don't know that. So that just means that we all have to travel to Bali and experience that. Right. See these trees.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So now let's get into a little bit about your career and how it ties in with well-being as well. So you've worked across advertising, marketing, and hospitality. What's inspired your pivot towards well-being? And how has your creative background influenced your approach?
Yeah, what is really beautiful about, I think well-being has always been a big part of my life. Even growing up in a forest, I was always climbing trees and I was always very much by myself, immersed in this beautiful world in nature, feeling an incredible connection. And when I moved to Bali, so I was always fueled by this beautiful creativity in both Amsterdam and London. And when I moved to Bali, there's something so powerful in Bali is that Bali's almost, they call it the island of the gods. And there's so much activation through ceremony, rites, and rituals from morning till evening that there's always such a strong energy activation here on the island. Mm-hmm. The way the Balinese practice the religion and how they honor everything. They honor themselves, they honor others, they honor nature. I think it's like landing into a place where, again, there's so much rite and ritual all the time,
mm-hmm.
And so much spirituality that being here for 15 years, like you adapt into the culture, you adapt into the rites and the rituals. So being and working for an incredible place like Potato Head, where everything is so driven by creativity, it was very interesting that it really activated for me after the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So in the pandemic, I really started to meditate a lot more. I did my Reiki attunement. I had mentors who were teaching me a lot about energy. And because we had so much time and space, I really, really started to practice hours and hours and hours in the day. And it just grew more and more. And by the time we reopened Potato Head, I was still part of the marketing and brand team, which I still am, but as the head of well-being. I started doing my practice on the rooftop as, you know, for me, the elements of the moon and the sun are incredibly powerful. So every morning I would wake up while we were staying at Potato Head and I would rise with the sun and I would harness the energy of the sun. And when we were inviting all these beautiful people to come stay with us because we had to reactivate the premises after COVID. And we really didn't have a program ready yet for everyone that was staying with us. And so I kind of looked at my peers and I was like, well, I get up with the sun every morning on the rooftop. And we kind of looked at each other and they said, was that something that you would like to do for everyone? I said, well, I think I can. So I actually developed a practice that's called Under the Rising Sun. And I think on a Monday, I did it for my two imaginary friends. 2 days later, I did it for the leadership team. And 4 days later, I did it for the first guest. So over the past 3 years, thousands of people have joined this session. And it is one of the signature sessions currently at Potato Head. So we start our mornings together at 6:30 on the rooftop. And yeah, we rise together with the sun. So it's been actually a very organic process. But also, yeah, it just feels really good how it's all developed very organically.
Wow. It sounds like coming to this role, right, was very almost like healing. Did you feel, because you were you in the Netherlands prior, right?
15 years ago, I was in the Netherlands. And right before I moved to Bali, I was in London.
Okay. Yeah. And did you find that the pace was really different? Were you always in tune with well-being? Or do you feel that you really came into your own with respect to your well-being and your practice,
mm-hmm,
when you started this role at Potato Head?
I think on a personal level, I've always really been into well-being. On a professional, mm-hmm, level, it's really been activated through this role.
Yeah. It sounds like it, you know, you're able to like bring multiple facets of yourself into this. And I'm sure everyone really feels it, right? In terms of like their interactions with you. And it's something that we can all take away, right? How can we bring more of ourselves into, you know, organizations or roles that we're in?
Yes.
It makes for a beautiful experience for yourself and for others as well, I think.
I agree.
Okay.
It's important that people really come from the heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So at the Potato Head family, you've built this well-being pillar. You've already shared with us a little bit about, you know, how you do your morning practice.
Right.
How do you balance cultural relevance with innovation in your programs?
I think a big foundation is that, you know, we are an Indonesian brand and we have our roots in Bali. So we honor the ancient traditions and we combine it with modern techniques. So we definitely, you know, Bali is our home and Bali is our foundation. And in everything we do, we honor the duality of Bali that Bali offers. And also, I think there's always, you know, when you work and you practice on very sacred grounds like these, you always ask permission to the ancestors, for example. You know, we have 4 temples on the grounds here. All of our 1,000 employees, the majority who have the Hindu religion, they would pray and ask permission in one of the temples always. The majority of our practitioners here on ground, they always go into the temples and ask for permission. So, yeah, it's always honoring the ancestors, honoring the grounds before any practices are being activated is always really integrated in everything that we do.
And do you feel that, you know, coming back to the piece around innovation, do you feel that you're able to explore new ways of doing things? Through the freedom of the Potato Head family, right? Like your mantras.
Yes. It's like, you know, we provide good times by doing good. And I think what's really important for us that for Potato Head, when we feel good, others feel good. So running or being head of the well-being pillar at Potato Head, like it starts with our own family. It starts with ourselves. So we actually invest a lot of time and effort in the well-being of our own family members because we truly believe when they feel well, it radiates out to our guests. And when our guests feel well, it radiates out to their family, et cetera, et cetera. So it's this beautiful ripple effect. So for me and my team and for Potato Head, like the most important thing is our own family members. And within that, you know, it is challenging at times because, yeah, you have to adapt to cultures. Like I try to mix and match with what I know they like and what is comfortable for them. But then on the other hand, I also try to mix and match and let them experience certain activations. For example, I like group hypnosis or sound healing or group acupuncture, things that they would normally not be exposed to, and kind of like try to mix it, right? So currently we are running a yoga program. So we offer 4 yoga classes per day for free for all of our family members so they can choose whether they want to activate themselves in the morning, do a 30-minute breathe and stretch during lunch or like after work. Because again, like we truly feel that if you take care of yourself and you feel happy within, like it radiates out to everyone around you.
Yeah, I wish that every company had that. those programs, I think everyone would be so much happier and healthier, right? For having that kind of that level of care, I think instilled within the organization. So you come from a bit of a, like, well, not a bit, an artistic background. You are an artistic individual. What role does art and design play in fostering mental and physical well-being?
I think for me, it started when I was growing up. My grandfather was a stained glass artist. So I grew up in a stained glass atelier, like playing with little cutoffs of different colors of glass, you know, and like kind of put them together and making puzzles. So how it integrates in what I do now, I still feel that I take little pieces of glass and different colors and like hold it up to the light and kind of put them together, because how I navigate and how I create is that everything for me is an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it really matters, like, again, what the color is, what the smell is, what the fabrics is that you use, that you sit on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, for me, the whole experience is very important, from the sounds to the scents to the lights to the, yeah, again, like how it feels. Our well-being philosophy at Potato Head is called Merasa, and Merasa is Indonesian for to feel. So every time I create something or I curate something, my first question is like, how does this make me feel? Or how do I want others to feel? And I take it from there.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great, like, motto to live by, right? And mantra.
Right. Absolutely. And it's also, I guess, now that we are talking about it, it's also like, yeah, like there's this beautiful saying, like, don't treat others the way you want to be treated, right?
Yes.
How do you want to feel? Like, how do you want to feel starting your day working? Or how do you feel, like, what would be the beautiful setting for you, a nourishing setting for you to close your day and go into a rest phase? And yeah, I think if we all come more from the heart, from feeling, would be beautiful.
Oh, yes. I think the world would be a much happier place. Where it gets a little bit perplexing is when there's deadlines and things due, right? Like, how do you make the space and give yourself permission to have those moments of...
Yeah, those moments are, look, life is never, you know, deadlines are there, pressure is there. Sometimes, you know, of course, we work with moments where it had to be done yesterday. Mm-hmm. But for the bigger activations, such as mostly once a year, we do a Merasa week. And like, I'm very protective over the energy that is fueled within the projects. So even if they try to make it the deadline shorter, I'll be like, no, because it is for us, like, the one time a year where we activate so intensely that it's so important, the energy you feed into a project or into something is that, you know, I think I'm very protective over the team, and we're trying to be very mindful. So even knowing that throughout that week, we maybe work 2 weeks straight, but I'll make sure that prior, you know, we all got supplements and vitamins and we do little spa treatments,
yeah.
You know, like to really nourish ourselves and really to get ready. And really, I think it's so important in everything that we do that we all feel great doing it.
Okay.
Because I want everyone to look back on that period and be like, yeah, we worked all so hard in that moment in time, but we got so much fulfillment out of it. You know, I remember, like, back in the day, you would work on campaigns and you see them all over the city and you'd be like, I can't look at that campaign anymore, because that was like lots of sleepless nights and just stress and deadlines, you know what I mean? And other people only see the result. But when you look at a campaign or something else, you feel the feeling, the stress that was connected to that project. So I'm very mindful and protective of all the projects we run here at Potato Head, that I try for myself and the team to nurture it with the best energy possible.
Yeah, it's definitely something for folks that are listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to kind of especially many of the leaders that I speak to, they're working with a number of team members, right? That's, and ultimately, I always feel that leaders are like stewards, and you have to have a certain awareness for your team in order to ensure that, yes, we're hitting the goals and so on and so forth, but we're also just mindful of the well-being, right, of the individuals.
Yeah.
So now let's get into a little bit about community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
How do you create experiences that resonate with both employees and visitors at Dessa Potato Hut?
Again, I think it really comes from the first question we ask is, how do we want people to feel?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we start creating from. And for me, it's like, if it's comfortable for our employees, it's comfortable for our guests and vice versa. And I think it's different for everyone. I always feel it's like flavors of ice cream, right? We all like different flavors.
Yeah.
People like to nourish their spiritual body. Other people like to nourish their physical body. Some people like slow things, active things. Some people like to do things in the morning or in the evening. So there, again, there's a duality, and we approach a lot of things from duality. So I don't think there's always like one thing in the middle. You approach for different. We approach for the east, the west, the north, the south. You know, so again, day, night, active, slow. Not specifically for only our guests or only our employees. Basically, all our employees can join the sessions of the guests, which I think is really beautiful because Dessa Potato Head, Dessa means village, right? So we are a little creative village here in Bali. And I feel it's really lovely because when I guide a session in the morning and I run into guests in the afternoon, it's really like running into someone in the village. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say, coming back to your question, I wouldn't say it's not done very consciously. I think everything we do here is very organically.
Yeah. It sounds like organic, but also very intentional. Like you're
very intentional. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think the strength of Potato Head is really the hospitality from the heart.
Mm.
And that is something that I admire so much about the Balinese. I don't think I've ever met a culture more beautiful than the Balinese culture, because there's so much grace, there's so much humbleness, and the smiles are just incredible. It's the most nourishing thing, like living on this island for as long as I have, is just still every day the beautiful smiles of the people of the Balinese is just the most nourishing thing in the world.
We're all going to want to get on a plane and fly out there. I know I am. Hearing everything from your experience to the, you know, Potato Head, it sounds incredible. Now, you've already shared with us, Kim, some examples, right? You've already shared with us some of your practices in the morning and whatnot. Can you also share additional like wellness initiatives that have positively impacted employees' creativity and productivity?
Yeah, as I mentioned, so we used to do family feel-good days. And in those family feel-good days, we would let our own employees experience what we offer the guests. Because I think it's so important, like if we offer a sound healing, we offer breath work and all these things. So we would offer that as well to employees. But that being said, we would also offer movement classes, so things that they like, you know, like Zumba. So again, it's trying a little bit of a balance of doing the comfortable things that they like, but also bringing in new things that they would enjoy, and opening themselves up to new things. And currently, as I said, about 6 months ago, we started this yoga program with 4 classes a day. And even though it is still challenging to get, because it's also a change in work culture. We really are asking you, like, take an hour before work or after work, or take half an hour during from your break and do something that's good for your body. Mm-hmm. It takes time to change the mindset of everyone. But I do feel that what is really beautiful to see that within these 6 months, there's been a lovely subculture within our employees of people who practice like 2-3 times a week and keep coming back. So as I said, I think it's always about touching one heart a day and having that ripple effect. So you just have to be a little bit patient and allow this sense of, hey, I'm feeling good at work, the things that I'm doing at work to nourish myself make me feel better and make me a better person. And I know that that will ripple out eventually into a bigger scale. So we have to start somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more awareness, right, in the world, especially, you know, even folks like Simone Biles, right, that she's an Olympic athlete. She really put a big flashlight on the importance of well-being and the importance that it ultimately actually impacts performance. Because if you don't take care of that, it will be detrimental. But if you do take care of it, you may have explosive results as a, you know, because of that.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to change things up a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about sustainability at Tablehead, right? How do you integrate sustainable practices into your well-being programs?
I think for us, it's the grand scheme. I think Potato Head is very driven by sustainability. It's one of our main pillars here at VDESA. And we always try to integrate it as much as we can. So, for example, anytime we use flower decorations like marigolds within our classes, then these marigolds are dried in the sun.
Okay.
And from the dried marigolds, we make incense, for example. Oh. So we are very big on turning waste into design. So where the majority of the hotels, 50% of their waste would go into the landfill, in our case, it's only 4.5% that goes to the landfill as we recycle as much as we can. So for example, our cooking oil is being used to make candles. So in my practices, when I use candles, is these candles are made from recycled cooking oil. And for a while, I also used yoga mats that were made out of recycled flip-flops. But unfortunately, those did not have the grip yet of a proper yoga mat, but a yoga mat that we use in daily practices, because you need to have a certain kind of grip on them. But that's what we try to innovate. We work together, for example, for these yoga mats, we work together with an incredible company called Indosol, and they make flip-flops out of used tires and all these, you know, recycled materials. So we try to recycle and reuse as much as we can. So wherever we can in practices, we will integrate it.
Do you have someone within your organization kind of overseeing those initiatives?
Yeah.
Or is this something that's just part of your culture overall?
We have, so sustainability is actually one of our pillars, same as well-being is one of our pillars, same as music, FB, and art and design. Like, I think those are like the main pillars of Potato Head. So yes, there is an incredibly big department here at Potato Head that looks after all the sustainability, because we are currently also working on homeware made out of recycled materials. So there's a lot happening.
Wow. It sounds like you're really in tune with like the earth, right? And just how we need to interact with Mother Nature, which is phenomenal. again, it's something that I think even so when we take it back to North American culture and like business in general, right? I think these are things that we could look to learn from. You know, in the pursuit of results, there is a place for sustainability, for well-being. Okay.
Yeah, you said it beautifully. It all comes from Mother Earth, and we only have one. So if we don't take care of our Earth, we are not taking care of ourselves, really.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Yeah. What trends do you see now, especially shaping into the future of well-being and hospitality and the workplace?
I think the trends that, again, I don't see, I feel. I'm very intuitive, so I don't really do any research and kind of go like, oh, what's trending, like what's coming up? I think also for Potato Head, like we don't follow trends. You know, we kind of like, we have a very clear vision and a purpose, and that's like providing good times for people and doing good at the same time. What I am personally feeling very much in the well-being is switching back to analog, right? I really feel for all of us that moving forward, we are so attached to all our digital devices that just really switching off, and something as simple as like playing a very simple instrument with strings, or going back to writing, physically writing in a journal, or painting, or working with clay, and just really consciously switching off from digital and being in an analog environment, I think it's gonna become more and more and more important. And I can see people longing for it already.
Yeah, you're right. And there's a certain sense of like, yeah, just completely turning off and being right. And being okay with that.
Right. And connecting back to earth, what you just said, you know, like walks in nature, like clay, like working with your hands versus, everything is so accessible. Everything is so incredibly fast. So,
yeah, I just, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, and I remember back when I was very young, when we didn't have digital phones, I remember feeling so happy and so free, right? Yeah. You just felt so free. And I feel like right now we feel more tethered. We're constantly tethered to our devices.
Yeah.
And it's like a noose, right? And so it's important to take time away to connect with yourself. So you have moments to, have that joy, right? Playing an instrument. Like, I don't play an instrument, but both my dad and my brother, they both are guitarists. And I'm always in awe watching them because I could see the level of joy they feel when they're playing their instruments.
Exactly.
Do you play an instrument, by the way? Do you play piano? Anything?
No, I wish, but I must say, like, sometimes so tomorrow is full moon here, and I guide a beautiful meditation, which we call Purnama, because Purnama means full moon in Indonesian. And there's always like singing bowls and all these beautiful instruments or bamboo flutes. And I just enjoy being in that frequency, but I can't say I play an instrument. I should get like a gong or a singing bowl or something. It hasn't happened yet.
For sure. For sure. I remember being a piano player back until I was 10 years old. And it was really nice, right? Until I became a teenager. There you go. Then the music all went away. But okay.
Yeah. Would you want to go back to playing piano?
You know what? I wouldn't mind it. I definitely wouldn't mind it. I actually wouldn't mind taking up a ukulele. I feel like would be interesting.
It's so interesting that you say that, because the ukulele came to my mind. It's just because it's small.
Yeah.
You can just, like, you know, you don't have to be and I think we don't have to demand from ourselves to become these professional musicians. It's just being. And what you say, like, feeling good and just enjoy the frequency of that instrument.
Absolutely. Yeah. For sure, I know that as I'm aging older, I really enjoy things like classical piano. Like very, very, I love that because it just, it puts me in that different frequency, that different frame of mind that's just calming and relaxing.
Beautiful piano. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, one of the last questions for leaders in hospitality or creative industries looking to prioritize well-being, where should they start, Kim? Where should they start?
They should start with themselves.
Okay.
And really practice something for themselves, what makes them feel good. And then gently start sharing that and ignite that with their team. Like, for example, I do a lot of energy work. So when we start meetings with my team, we do energy work exercises. So I do intuition training with them. And it's playful and it's fun. And it empowers everyone to connect more and more to their intuition. That is the only thing how I know how to do it. So I start with something that I like that comes from my heart.
Yes.
Then share it with others. And again, it brings us back to the beginning of our conversation of when you do things from the heart, people feel it.
Yeah.
There's no denying. You know, you have the people that stand on a stage or like stand in front of you and you see someone so passionate doing things with their heart. Like there's no denying, you can't go around it. You feel it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would say start with the self, start small and share it with your teams.
Now you did, I have to follow up with that. So you said you do intuition, like training in intuition.
Intuition exercises, yeah.
So can you just tell me a little, like I'm so curious, like what is that all about?
It's a super playful and fun exercise. So my core team is 4 people. So when we start our weekly meetings where we catch up on everything. So amongst the 4 of us, there is 1 sender and there's 3 receiver. So we would take 3 colors. In this case, it would be like a traffic light. It would be red, green, and orange or yellow.
Okay.
Right? We say red and yellow. So then we all close our eyes, we focus and we connect to each other. And then one person is the sender. So let's say if I am the sender and you are the receiver, I would think of one of these 3 colors very strongly, send it out to my team members. And then I can say, go. And then they are not allowed to think about it. They just have to use their intuition and feel what color they are receiving. So the moment I say go, they say one of these 3 colors and I repeat the color that I'm sending just to confirm whether they were right or wrong. Then we reboot and then we close our eyes again and I send a color and they receive it. So we do that for about 5 to 10 minutes and it's super interesting. Wow. It's playful, but it's also very powerful. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Now I'm even more curious. Now I'm going to want to do this myself. This is it truly is intuition, right? But it's like frequencies, like telepathy, right?
Yes.
Like that you're kind of, you know, yeah.
I mean I'm actually that, you know, like that, yeah. That like the beautiful thing is that we all like intuition is our strongest weapon. In our private lives, but also in our work, you know, and especially in the department that we run, like the beautiful thing is that we all part of the well-being department at Potato Hut, but each and every one of us are also practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we do the work we love, but we also get to activate what is really important to us on this ground. That's why I say, like, it's really a village. Like, we really do things differently here.
Wow. Well, I'm sold. I'm coming out. I'm going
to share it all with you in person.
I'm excited. Yeah. For sure, one day we're going to meet in Bali.
I know that too.
For sure. Okay, well, we're going to end things off by asking you to share one piece of advice with your younger self. What would it be?
I think if I would have to give advice to my younger self, is to trust myself more and believe in myself and stop. Yeah, I think not to keep myself small. I've always liked to keep myself small, and I'm really coming to a point in my life where I'm stepping out more and more. So I've been doing that for a long time.
I'm actually shocked hearing that, because I think that you're extremely confident, charismatic individual. So
no,
I'm kind of shocked in hearing that.
Why? But you must believe that I was only 42 when I activated all of this. So prior, in the 42 years leading up to that, it was very much like me being at home, like doing all this intuition. And I would do like very tiny private activations in my home for like really close friends and stuff like that. But I was 42 when I actually like really stepped out and like started doing Under the Rising Sun and like really, aligned with my purpose. So, but on the other hand, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think, and on the other hand, I'm also, I always knew I'm doing what I'm doing now. And I also knew that I was going to be a bit older when I would activate. So we spoke about this in our previous chat. It's about, remember how we said, like, the way knows the way. You have to trust your process. And there is never, I think everyone feels this pressure of, you have to activate and be in your purpose in your teens or in your 20s or in your 30s. And no, like, there's a different path for everyone, to come in alignment with self. So, but again, if I would rewind and look at the younger Kim, I would be like, come on, like, step out a little bit earlier into the light, but it's all good.
Yes. And that's wonderful advice. And I think it's advice that a lot of folks can take, right? Mm-hmm. Because I am hearing that, having conversations now with many leaders, I am hearing a lot of like self-reflection in terms of perfectionism behavior in the past, or things like just giving yourself more grace.
Run out. Yes.
Your younger self too, because I feel like a lot of times we were harder on ourselves when we were younger.
Yeah.
And as you get older, right, you realize you can have grace. There's still a lot of time.
So much
to do things.
Absolutely. I think every day you wake up is a new opportunity to step into your power, in what shape or form that is. Every day you get to be a little bit better, you decide. So I think, and I agree, like, every day is just such a beautiful gift, like, that we have to like embrace. And I love that you said the grace part it's very relevant for me as well. So I really connect with what you are saying. Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me about that, Grace.
Of course. Of course. It's only simply because of all of the conversations now we've been having with folks from the Wellbeing Council.
Yes.
So thank you again, Kim, for taking time out of your day, right? On behalf of the Employee Wellbeing Council, we appreciate you for sharing your insights. What a special episode today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing me in to your beautiful channel.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites While Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.